mouth is really extremely dry this morning, so I may have to pause there for a little bit and give me some water, but I promise that I'll let you go by the time the water bottle is empty. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And it's interesting that the songs that Laverne picked this morning and some of the things that Laverne said this morning really work right into my message, and she didn't even know what it was. But what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to illustrate from the scriptures that you need to really know where you stand in your faith with God. I had a long talk recently with my son. And my son is in a church that's a good church. Crazy stuff don't go on there. They don't condone sin. They're just a good church that teaches and preaches how to live. And my son called me and he said, "Dad," he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "I don't know if it's because I'm an old fogey, 40 years old. Because I'm one of the oldest in my church. And it's just a new church. And it is a church that's part of a spirit-filled denomination." And he said, "Dad, I've been here 2 years in a spirit-filled church. And I have never seen the Spirit move." In other words, what he was saying, never been any gifts exercised, never anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, never anything about healing. Not one person ever fell out under the power. Mainly because they don't have a strong prayer time. They praise contemporary rock kind of style because they're young. Nothing wrong with that. Then he preaches a good word for what it is. But my son, "Dad, I know what I grew up with. And I know what it's like. But when it's over here and we go home, it's like we didn't get anything." He said, "I know that a lot of the ones that are here are young ones." But he said, it's like we don't want to preach anything or teach anything. It's over their head. For those of you that were here when we started, I never once thought about whether or not I was preaching something that was over your head. I preached the Word of God. for what it was, and the Spirit of God helped teach us about it. And he said, Dad, what you went through last year, he said, it angered me. I got mad at God because he would let you go through such a thing. And in the midst of all that, his wife told him, Scott, you need to talk to somebody. You need some help. And he said so many words. This church that I attended for 2 years, and he was a personal friend of the pastor that founded the church. That's one of the reasons why they went there. The other one was, it was 15 minutes from home, and the one where they were attending was 45 minutes from home. And he said, there was nothing that I heard nor anybody that I could talk to that would help me with what I was going through. And so after Cindy told him he needed to talk to somebody, he called the pastor's wife, who was in counseling, of the church where they attended, and talked to her, and she shared things with him and gave him a perspective that enabled him to make it through last year, to get out of his being mad at God. And he shared with me, he said, I get mad at God and say, God, look what he's done. He's given his whole life to you. He served you and for years and years and never done this and done that. He got finished and I said, there's just one thing wrong with that, Scott. I said, if God had healed me for those reasons, would that not mean that I had worked for my healing? God doesn't move because of our works. He moves because of our faith. And hey, I went through hell and back, but I'm here. A little dry mouth, but I'm here. And what my son is missing is the in-depth of the Word of God that drills into us as we hear it. Who God is, how powerful God is, how great God is, how loving and compassionate God is, and how he has promised us many promises. It's not just a feel-good time. There may be a time when somebody put a gun at your head, and them feel-good sermons won't help you. You got to know that you're going to stay with God, and you're going to stand with God, and if they pull the trigger, you're going home to be with God. I asked him, I said, if you had had nothing but what you've heard in the last 2 years, would you have made it through last year? He said, no. I said, let me ask you this. Based on what you say you've heard in the last 2 years, if that had been all that I knew, would I have made it through last year? And he said, probably not. It's important what we hear. It's important what we see. It's important what we believe, whether we understand it all or not. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Matthew's account of this says, worshiping him. Mark says, kneeling down to him. Same thing. He came to Jesus. He bowed down before him, worshiping him. And I'm going to tell you this. 5 minutes of worshiping God will get you more than a whole day of grumbling and complaining. When you're tempted to complain about something or to grumble about something, start worshiping the Lord. They can't stay in the same place. So this man didn't come to Jesus and say, I tell you what, I'm just a poor old leper, and I've had this for years, and nothing can be done about it. And I just came up here and to see if maybe some way I'd got fingers missing, and I got all of this, and I'm in pain all the time, blah, 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 etc., etc. He knew what kind of condition he was in, and he wanted to get out of it. He didn't want to glorify it. Don't glorify your weaknesses by talking about them and harping on them. Let Jesus remove them. Let him touch you, and it'd be gone like those paper clips were for these kids. But you got to believe that. You got to believe it. And the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So when we read stories like this one that I'm reading, don't just read it as a historical happening, but read it as a here and now reality. Kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, then you can make me clean. Listen to this. The leper was certain that Jesus was able to heal him. He was not sure that it was his will. But Jesus' response settled that question. I am willing. Be cleansed. May we not be certain that it is the Lord's will to do that for which he has made redemptive provision? at the same time, one cannot intentionally, you know what that word means? Planning to do. One cannot intentionally be living in violation of God's will and expect His promises will be fulfilled. Where biblical conditions for participating in God's process are present, they must be met. But let us not avoid either God's readiness or God's remedies by reason of the question of His willingness. If it is your will, now catch this, if it is your will is more often an expression of fear, a proviso to excuse God of any blame. Lord, if it be your will, just in case it doesn't happen. Now, we should know better than to pray stuff that's not His will. How shall we know that? It's in the book. This is His will and testimony. It's what He's given us. As I said in the bulletin, if He has done it for anyone, He will do it for everyone. If He was willing to heal this leper, He's willing to heal me. He's willing to heal you. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. We need to have more confidence in the immediateness. When we pray and we ask God for something, we need to believe that immediately it's happened. Does that mean we're going to see all of the manifestations of it in a moment? Not necessarily. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. You pray, you believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you wait till you see it before you believe it, it will never happen. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. I said Wednesday night in our Bible study, there is a provision in the old covenant law of Moses for a leper proclaiming his cure. If he's been cleansed of leprosy, he can take a certain offering and sacrifice it, and that's a recognition that he's healed. That's why he told him to go show himself to the priest. You know the problem? The priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers, they were all like a lot of Christians today. They had never seen a person cleansed of leprosy. Because by the time Jesus came on the scene, it wasn't happening anymore. Was it because it wasn't God's will? No. It was because they did not grasp it as part of their doctrine. Well, we know that that's in there, but it don't happen today. How many times you have heard that? I know it's in the Bible, but it's not happening today. It's passed away. Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, priests had the same problem here. They never had anyone come to them and show them that they'd been cleansed of leprosy. They weren't old enough. Didn't go back far enough. And Jesus told him to be quiet. Don't tell anybody. Verse 45. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. What did he do? What did I do? He lifted up Jesus. Began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. Too much of a crowd. But was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. Flip backwards to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 begins with the same story. We're not going to read it. We already read it once. But after this, in the account of Matthew, Jesus heals the centurion's servant. Then he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, after all that, at the end of the Sabbath, in Matthew 8, verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, you cannot present to me one example in the scripture. One example in the scriptures where Jesus refused to heal someone by telling them that it wasn't God's will for them to be healed. Now, surely, in a multitude, the size of the multitudes he was drawing, if God showed partiality about his promises, somebody would have had to come up to Jesus to be prayed for, and Jesus would have to have said to him, "I'm sorry, it's not God's will for you to be healed." Not only does that violate the scripture that says he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, it also violates the scripture where Peter said when the Gentiles were baptized in the Holy Spirit, God is of a part of a truth, shows no partiality. If we struggle with things that we're facing that we don't want, sickness, disease, afflictions, demonic activity, all of those things that happen to us, none of them happen because it's God's will to do us that way. Now, can he teach you something from it? Absolutely. We taught my son Scott an example of staying out of the road when he was a little boy because his puppy ran out in the road and got killed. Now, we didn't kill his puppy, but we used that opportunity to teach him a lesson about himself. You stay out of the road, son, or it'll happen to you. And when God takes something bad, it happens in your life, and works it around to something good, give him glory for it, but don't give him credit for doing the bad stuff. Just give him credit for being with you through the bad stuff. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And Isaiah 54 says it, and 2 Peter says it. And by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. We can't hope so, maybe so, wish so, think so. We've got to know so. How do we know? The Bible. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. You love your children? When's the last time you hit one of them with a bat? When was the last time you cut one of their fingers off for getting in the cookie jar when you told them not to? When's the last time you gave them a black eye because they were disobedient? When's the last time you gave them a spanking? When's the last time you disciplined them? Do you discipline them? You better. Or they'll be running the house by the time they're big. You spank them? Well, that's not politically correct anymore. Neither is speaking in tongues. Neither is using the name Jesus. Hallelujah. But it's okay. But if you discipline them, don't hurt them. Because discipline becomes punishment. and punishment comes when the person in authority has had all they can take and they have nothing in consideration but the fact that you're making my life miserable and I'm going to beat you to a pulp. I'll wear you out. Well, my dad told me that several times. My dad gave me some spankings, and I don't forget them. Not very many, but what he did, I didn't forget. But he never hurt me. He never hurt me. We have got to believe the Word of God is the Word of God. If I only teach you how to smile and be happy and actually end up being a good motivational speaker, you'll feel good. But when you run into the bear out there, you'll have to try to whip him with a switch. Instead of having the real weapon that you need to deal with him. Commitment to the Word of God? Absolutely. Belief and trust in the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Absolutely. Cannot waver. Cannot back down. Cannot sidetrack. I'll tell you what. And I hate to say this, but if all at once it became illegal to meet as a Christian in this country without getting arrested, 50% of the people that are in churches now would just quit going and saying, it's too dangerous. And you look at it on the other hand, and I close with this. The gospel that's preached in China is the same gospel that's in this book. It's the same one that we have. But in China, you can go to jail or disappear for believing this stuff. But did you know China has the largest Christian population of any country on this earth? And they have to do it with an opposition government. What gives them the strength? Because they're not pulling punches about what the Word of God is, about who Jesus is, or about what God will do for you if you believe. Hallelujah. We're ready now to celebrate all that led to where we are. The blood of Jesus Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. And the cup and the bread of his final Passover with his disciples is the reminder of who he is, who we are, and what we have. You know what you are? You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you were. And God doesn't care what you were. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're clean. His blood's washed you clean. You're healed. His stripes brought you your healing. And when they're talking about stripes, they're talking about stripes. They're talking about a cat of nine tails with so much force that it doesn't just whelp the skin, it literally rips it off. And that's what he did for you. And then he said to us, as often as you do this in remembrance of me until I come. That's what it's for. You're a child of God. And if you got doubts about that, all you got to do is say, Lord, remove the doubts. I want to be your child. Amen. Ushers, get prepared for the